A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. We have been reassured about you, brothers and sisters, in our every distress and affliction through your faith, for we now live if you stand firm in the Lord. What thanksgiving, then, can we render to God for you, for all the joy we feel on your account before our God? Night and day we pray beyond measure to see you in prison, to see you in person, and to remedy the deficiencies of your faith. Now may God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts, to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Amen. Verbum Domini. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night." Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is long delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth.
Verbum Domini.
Before I begin preaching this homily, I do want to mention that this Mass that I'm offering will be offered for all of those affected by the shooting that happened in Minneapolis yesterday. If you can join me in prayer as well, I invite all of you to join me in prayer, especially for those who have died. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. We also pray for those who are still in the hospital, obviously all the children at the school, the people of the parish, the pastor, I mean the whole community we lift up in prayer. If one member of the Catholic Church suffers in the mystical body of Christ, then all of us suffer. When one member rejoices, all of us rejoice. We're all connected to one another. So it's very appropriate that we do pray for especially this community affected by such horrible evil that they experienced. If I could recommend a prayer, Lord, if it pleases you, give me some of their sorrow, their grief, their anxieties. If you want me to take all of it, as long as you give me the grace to bear it joyfully, please accept my offering. So in Christianity, especially Catholic Christianity, we not only sympathize with another person's suffering and weaknesses, but we could, in a very real sense, make it our own, this empathy. So maybe we can keep that in mind, especially in light of what happened yesterday, especially in a Catholic school where they were at Mass. This should be the safest place, but yet we see very evil things happening, especially now in this day and age. So again, if we can lift any of the burden that they're going through, may we pray for that. We also celebrate St. Augustine's feast day today, so if you can also pray for Pope Leo. Obviously, he's Augustinian friar turned into the Pope, so it's a big solemnity for Pope Leo and the Augustinians and anyone else that has St. Augustine as their patron, like the canons regular. There are many canons regular religious orders that follow the rule of St. Augustine. This is a huge day for them, so we also lift them up in prayer. I plan on praying the rosary for the Pope today, so I invite all of you as well. Now, to tell you the truth, the gospel today is on the second coming and preparing for the coming of Christ, and I kind of had to modify my homily for pastoral sensitivity based on what happened yesterday, so I apologize if my homily is a little fragmented. I just wanted to be, you know, sensitive to what has happened, especially here in our country. But our Lord is clear, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. You must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come. What comes to mind first, reading this, being in the state of grace. I mean, this goes without saying. We always want to be in the state of grace. We were baptized. Original sin was washed away. Sanctifying grace entered into our soul. The Holy Trinity indwells within us. We need this. We want this. This is required to go to heaven. This is required, God willing, when Jesus does come again, whenever that may be, we will be in the state of grace. So if you do not frequent confession, it's something that you might want to think about. Obviously, it's a precept within the church to go to confession at least once a year. That is the bare minimum. We have these five precepts for the bare minimum to get to heaven. But when we're talking about eternal life, we don't want to do the bare minimum. We want to go way beyond the bare minimum. So simply frequenting confession, even though you may not be in the state of mortal sin, for some reason people think that you have to be in the state of mortal sin, it seems like, to go to confession, besides the once a year requirement, it's good to frequent confession. I recommend once a month, even for venial sins. If someone maybe has a bad habit, and usually all of us do, one way or another, have a dominant fault, a specific sin that we commit over and over again, maybe a capital sin such as anger or pride or gluttony, any of these sins, we may have a dominant fault, it's good to bring these to confession for strength to root them out. So again, staying in the state of grace, obviously this requires prayer. One healthy sign, in my opinion, for someone staying awake, preparing for the Lord's coming, if they have Eucharistic devotion. If you're constantly in front of the Blessed Sacrament, either exposed in the monstrance or repose in the tabernacle, you are already conversing with Jesus face to face. Although he's veiled under what looks like a piece of bread, you're talking to him, you're adoring him, you're preparing for his coming. We have the first coming, the second coming, and the coming in between. That is Jesus and his real presence in the Eucharist. So I would think it would be a healthy sign for someone to prepare for the second coming by having Eucharistic devotion. Obviously, those who go to daily Mass, I mean, this is the best thing you can do in terms of prayer, especially receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. Now, as a missionary preacher, I go place to place, city to city, country to country, preaching. And I think that the teaching of mortal sin, I mean, we're talking about being in the state of grace. The teaching of mortal sin, at least in my opinion, isn't taught enough. Now, I'm not saying you have to mention it at every homily, but I think the general population, maybe here in the United States, maybe beyond, at least from my experience, I don't think it's preached enough. And this is what is going to have sanctifying grace basically be absent from someone's soul if they commit a mortal sin, that is a grave sin, done with full knowledge and complete deliberate consent of your will. If someone commits a mortal sin with those criteria, then they're not in the state of grace. They obviously wouldn't be awake, or they wouldn't be ready for the second coming. So I think it's on the priest to help prepare the people, at least inform them that mortal sin is real. You would be sleeping, better yet dead, in terms of preparation for the second coming of Christ. So, again, I realize in terms of pastoral sensitivity, I mean, what has happened, we always have to be ready. So maybe some of the mortal sins that maybe aren't mentioned, objectively speaking, that maybe should be told to the people, missing Mass on Sundays without a valid reason is a mortal sin for us Catholics. You know, obviously, if you're sick, maybe if you're caring for someone who's sick that needs care 24 hours a day, there's obviously valid reasons to miss a Sunday Mass, an obligatory Mass, or a holy day of obligation. But for the most part, we should go to Mass. We should want to go to Mass and just not simply see it as an obligation, but as an opportunity. And I think one deacon, I remember traveling in Missouri, instead of saying holy day of obligation, he would say holy day of opportunity. Of course, it's both. We want to go to Mass and be united with our Lord. So, I mean, with the amount of percentage of Catholics that don't go to Sunday Mass, it doesn't look good. And we have to pray, especially in reparation for sins. Other mortal sins, again, I'm trying to do this in light of what has happened, but the gospel at least calls for it. Murder, obviously, mortal sin. Abortion, if you steal large amounts of money, hopefully no one's robbing any banks or things like that. Adultery, fornication, that is sex before marriage. Homosexual acts, masturbation, pornography, artificial contraceptives, you know, basically birth control for contraceptive reasons. having a permanent sterilization, like a tubal ligation, a vasectomy, in vitro fertilization, prostitution, blasphemy, desecration of the Eucharist, receiving communion in the state of mortal sin is another mortal sin. A Catholic attempting marriage outside of the church, again, I realize that I'm probably preaching to the choir. I mean, those who are watching daily Mass, you probably already know these things. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's someone watching or listening that didn't realize that these were mortal sins. Obviously, I just want everyone to stay awake. It's my duty as a priest out of charity to help people get to heaven. So if someone has committed these sins, obviously we want to bring them to the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, besides being in the state of grace, obviously we pray that we persevere, whether it's death or the second coming, that we're not only in the state of grace, but know that the Holy Trinity indwells in our souls. I wish I could preach more about the Holy Trinity indwelling in our souls. Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity is someone who I recommend to help, especially commune with the Trinity inside of us. It's a beautiful devotion. Constantly throughout the day, we should be talking to God, not just simply in heaven, so to speak, but who is inside of us. But besides that, I would say in terms of staying awake, lukewarmness is the devil in disguise. Lukewarmness is the sickness that causes those who are called to holiness to be indifferent in the spiritual life and our relationship with God. So someone who is lukewarm, at least in my opinion, maybe they go to Sunday Mass every week. Maybe they go to the vigil Mass on Saturday. Either way, they at least go to Mass to meet their obligation. But right after Mass is over and they leave the doors of the church, their Catholic Christian life is non-existent. Things that they should do on a daily basis, they neglect, such as read the Bible every day. Do we maybe take 10 to 15 minutes out of our busy day to read sacred scripture, especially the Gospels? Have we stopped learning about our faith, or did that end after we were confirmed? Do we pray on a daily basis? For the lukewarm person, maybe they only pray 10 seconds while they're falling asleep at night, or they only pray before they eat a meal. These are signs maybe of apathy, of, again, lukewarmness. Maybe they're Catholic just simply by name only and just going to Sunday Mass, if that. So the struggle to improve in our faith is abandoned. The soul in a lukewarm state easily gives into sin, especially nowadays by social media and the internet, like pornography, and anything that has to do with God is reduced to doing things only out of obligation or routine, as opposed to loving someone with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul. So we pray that we do not fall into lukewarmness. Maybe we know people that are lukewarm. Our Lord actually spoke in the book of Revelation, because you are neither hot nor cold, because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth, he says. So as Catholics, believe it or not, we're either moving closer to God in our relationship with him, or we're moving backwards. There is no middle ground. Can we put a price tag on our soul? For what shall it profit a man if he gains his whole world and yet suffers the loss of his own soul? So again, staying awake. Now, one thing to keep in mind, we should always move forward in terms of formation. We always want to have a spiritual book. There are things that we need to keep up with in our spiritual lives. I mean, we want to have a healthy relationship with God. It's not just something that we check in terms of a box to get over with so we can just do whatever we want to do, especially on Sundays, since it is the Lord's Day. Now, along with frequenting the sacraments and obviously praying, the last thing I recommend in terms of staying awake, Marian devotion. Obviously, again, I'm probably preaching to the choir, someone who probably prays multiple rosaries a day. It's a good thing. You're focusing on the mysteries of Christ. The more we meditate upon Christ and the fruits of Christ applied to Our Lady, the more we will live a holy, grace-filled life. Now, I recommend specifically in terms of preparation as an external reminder, the brown scapular. Again, I'm probably preaching to the choir. Most of you, if not all of you, are enrolled in the brown scapular, an external sign belonging to Jesus through Mary. So maybe you can consider the brown scapular after being enrolled, if you're not enrolled already, as your defense against Satan, all of these temptations. You have like a shield or specific armor against these evil temptations. And then you can think of the rosary as your offense, like a sword, to use this language here. But it's always good to have Marian devotion, especially as we prepare for the second coming to stay awake. This is St. Bernard. When you follow Mary, you will not go astray. When you pray to her, you will not despair. When your mind is on her, you will not wander. When she holds you up, you will not fall. When she protects you, you will have no fear. When she guides you, you will feel no fatigue. When she is on your side, you will arrive safely home.